Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Proops. Hooray, hurrah! Once again, the smartest man in the world, Proopcast, takes to the ether from here, way below the streets of Helsinki, Finland, where the sun never, ever stops fucking shining. Here at one of Finland's most premier comedy clubs, every Saturday night they have comedy here. Mostly it's a rock and roll club, and it's called On the Rocks. We're here for the first annual Arctic Laughs Comedy Festival, and I think it might be the first podcast done in English from here. I don't know. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say we're setting a new record here tonight. So thank you very much for coming out, everybody. If you're listening in Proopcast land, say you're in Liechtenstein and you're all by yourself, sitting in a room alone with a cup of tea and your bitterness, it's an awesome time to light up a fat one or chop up something that's necessary or maybe mix something. And, you know, normally I don't recommend mixed drinks because I feel like that adulterates the purpose of alcohol, which is to go directly to your brain and make you an insane person that has to eat hot dogs off a stand in the middle of the night and get in a fight with a Swedish dude you just met. But I would say at this juncture, maybe some green chartreuse. I don't often mispronounce the word chartreuse, but when I do, that was on purpose. Or maybe some Chambord, Galliano, one of those horrible sweet drinks, I think, if you're listening out there in Proopcast land this day. Maybe a Campari and orange, if you're feeling continental. Maybe you could wear a little cravat. And like that, and maybe have a pencil-thin mustache and have a cigarette holder and every kind of affectation, a monocle, a small dog that you carry, one of those weird hairless Egyptian dogs that are scary, that shake a lot. That's the kind of thing we're going for here. Put on a smoking jacket. Put on slippers. Put on brocaded slippers that have your initials written on the top. But they don't have my initials. Go, I'll wait. Go get a Sharpie and write your initials on the top of those slippers. Your initials are probably KR, is what I'm guessing. This is a Finnish crowd, so they're going to take everything I say literally tonight. So the laughter's going to be sporadic for those of you listening out there. In Proopcast land, it's not that they don't appreciate it, it's that we're in Scandinavia, and Scandinavian people are exceedingly polite, which means they don't make noise unless they're asked to by their Nazi overlords. So, see, they can speak English. They can speak English. Look, they spoke it just then. Thank you for the young man who gave me, what was your name, brother? Beth? Beth? Does anyone?
Bethem.
Oh, Bethem. Oh, that's so nice. Thank you, Bethem. He gave me two little bottles of Finlandia, and he put little bows on them. Isn't that darling? Bethem, do you work in design at all? Are you a florist?
Because I'm a brain scientist.
You're a brain scientist? You hadn't proved that when we chatted earlier, but I appreciate it now. Obviously, the ability to tie a bow indicates that working on neurological disorders is your métier. So thank you for those. I appreciate it. Kiitos, as we say here in Finland. Also, some young ladies gave me a giant bottle of vodka, which is really the spirit, isn't it? I'm only here for one more night, so wow. Jennifer and I are going to be up all goddamn night tonight. And then we're going to be fighting with a dude at a Greeley, is that what they're called? They wrote, to Mr. Greg Proops, welcome to Finland, from Aino and Lissa. Thank you very much, Aino and Lissa. I appreciate that. This is my favorite part that they wrote on it, though. Enjoy responsibly. I'm 54 fucking years old. If I had any responsibility, I wouldn't be doing this show for no money in shitholes all across Europe. Never, ever, ever tell me what to do. I'll enjoy however I fucking want to enjoy. If there was cocaine on this island or whatever the fuck we're on, then you could tell me to calm the fuck down. But as it is, I'm going to drink your vodka, and thank you very much for it. And it's listed with two I's, but not listed with two S's. I love that. All the extra vowels here. I saw a word today that was U-U-2-U-U-S. And that's like, man, my name's not that weird here. My name could be Greca Proopus. Because everyone is named here as Jekka Tukas and Fakalakatubla Karakarakarani Hanakarukula Kudakudakudakudakudakudakang. And that's one word. You guys are poly goddamn syllabic here, man. There is not enough fucking syllables in the language to contain Finnish. We were in Norway last year, and you know those assholes. Anyway. all their names are like Yone and whatnot, or, you know, Skell and shit like that. And you're like, really? Those are so rapey. It's like you're wearing a helmet and you went to Vineland and there were Skraelings there and you had your way with them and then built wooden structures and then no one found them for 500 years because you didn't build in stone and shit. Now, I realized there were some Finns on the voyage, because no matter what Viking voyage took place, there was always some Estonians, a couple Finns, maybe a few Irish people, definitely some Danish people. The Danish people were in charge of counting the money when you got back, I think, is the how that worked. The Norwegians were in charge of making sure everyone on the crew was white as could be. And the Swedes were in charge of, you know, cleanliness, the toilet area and whatnot. And the Finns were in charge of getting really, really drunk and fighting with the Indians when you get to Canada. And maybe fighting over some pemmican or beating up a buffalo or whatever it is you did when you got there. And well done you for getting there so far before Columbus did. He gets a lot of credit. He really does. People have asked me how I like Finland. People have welcomed me to Finland. Thank you for that. Welcome to you, even though you live here. Let me just tell you a couple things about Finland, because that's all I know is a couple of things. I've been here less than 48 hours, so you have a beautiful airport. And... very confusing. We went down the wrong escalator and we were taken to a room. I'm not kidding. And then we had to buzz a door. We had to get two Finnish guys to make a phone call for us on a blue phone that allowed us into a security area. And a woman came out and she had wheels on her, so you knew she was a fucking bitch. And she normally I wouldn't say that about women, but she was a bitch on wheels. And she came out and my wife goes, my husband is dealing with the guy who was driving us here. And I'm like, I was on the phone and she's like, I go, but this guy's with us. And she goes, does he have bags on this plane? And I'm like, no, he's driving a car. And she's like, then he can't come inside. And then she closed the door on me. And then my wife had to get her to open the door again. And when she opened the door, she went like that. And I was like, really? You hid my luggage from me and sent me down the wrong fucking escalator. At this point, I expect a lubricated whale job from you is what I expect. The gentle laughter you hear does not belie the amount of humor included in every joke, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be hitting my own rim shots as the night goes on, because I have a drum kit behind me. We're in a place called Rocks Off, on the rocks, rocks that are off. And if I could describe the surroundings to you, I don't know if your father ever took acid and decorated your den before, but that's kind of what it's like. You know, like your dad went, you know, it'd be awesome if we put some pictures up of dudes with guitars and then a whole wall of people that have their hands over their head that are about to fucking light a lighter and go, woo, play that white supremacist song again. And there's a Finnish flag behind me because evidently people get confused about what country they're in. When they come downstairs here, it's very disorienting as they make their way down. It's not a circular staircase, not a spiral one either. It's very Finnish, very designed. It's half a spiral. Because that's what you guys do best, design little glasses and tchotchkes, and tchotchkes is a Yiddish word. Yiddish is used by Jewish people. Jews are people who, we control the media with our horns and tails. That's what our job is on Earth. It's a hemi spiral. And then over here in the corner, I have no idea what that is. There's two bars here, although it appears that one bar is going to handle my show pretty fucking well tonight. There's also an LED readout in Finnish that says May 15th, KLO, Comedy on the Rocks, comma, KLO 22, On the Rocks, open stage. I have no idea what that means. I don't know if that means it's an open comedy stage and people just barge up here one after the next and go, I've got a joker. Because isn't that how you spell joke? J-O-K-K-A and shit? Because you're acting like it. I would like some laughas from my jokers before the fucking nighta is fucking over, okay? I'm going to need some more ice. I wonder if it's possible to get ice up here near the Arctic Circle and shit. Joanna, could you get me some more ice, my precious darling? I don't need vodka because I've got fucking mad reserves. And let's just go through this last thing. And I was like, come in. That's what the room is like. It's very dark in here. It's very rock and roll. There's horrible lights on me. I'm boiling like a French fry. because I have heating lamps over me here, I looked at the word French fry last night on a menu here, and it was clokalokalikalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalokalok fine with you. Thank you, Joanna. Oh, look at all that ice. My goodness. We're taking over the North Pole. You know when you book a gig at a place called the Arctic Laughs Comedy Festival that it's going to be cold. But you don't count on spring being the way it is here. I didn't bring any overcoats with me because we were in London and Paris and we're going to Amsterdam. But I really felt like I should bring a parka and a big fur hat just to represent, you know? But it is cold for me. For you guys, it's fucking, this is like Palm Beach. I get it. For you guys, it's like Fiji this week. People are walking around in wife beaters and fucking boob tubes and shit. I saw people in hot pants today. We went to the park, the Esplanade Park, where all the square people go before they kill themselves for being bourgeois. And they had their ugly children with them in their jumpers and rompers and shit. And there were ponies. They were cute. There was two cute ponies. One was all spotted, which looked like an Appaloosa. And I was like, how did you get a tiny Indian pony from North America all the way over here? That had to take some doing. And then there was another little browner pony. But the spotted pony was like holding it down. It was cold, I'll be honest. Not cold as you guys know it. But remember, I'm from the west coast of the United States. So by Los Angeles standards, this was like the expedition that Shackleton had to lead his men out of the ice on. Thank you. That's for the English people in the crowd because he's still a hero to them. And the reason why Arctic explorers are heroes to the English is they often failed. And that's all about what an English hero is. An English hero is not someone who triumphs over everyone. An English hero gets their head cut off at the end of the fucking story. Shackleton actually brought all of his men out, and they all lived. So he is kind of a hero. It was Robert Falcon Scott, whose entire crew died at Antarctica. In any case, thank you for that. And I got other gifts here. It was cold today, like I say. So the spotted pony was holding it down Indian style, right? Like you felt like if there had been an attack and there was a few arrows in its flanks, it would have just twitched and not moved a muscle. You know what I mean? Like it would have been sanguine about the arrows because that's how war horses are. But the brown pony, as I walked by it, gave me a definite fucking confiding look. It gave me a conspiratorial glance. The brown pony came by me and went like this. And I was like, I know. You've got a giant Finnish girl leading you, and it's cold as shit. And not one child has been on you the whole time I've stood out here in Esplanade Park. So really, it was a fruitless endeavor for the ponies, because the ponies are like, come on. But Finnish people are polite, and they're like, oh, there's horses. What are those for? I have no idea what accent you were doing just then. We took air, thin air in, and it was lovely. I'd never been on thin air before. We were on SAS last year when we went to Norway, because I don't know if Norway has an airline. I think they do, but it's like a real discount airline. Norway's airline's like Fjord Free or whatever, and like it costs $2, and there's no seats. You just stand. And they don't give you food. They just give you a bowl and you beg from first class. And thank you. That's a joke from the 60s by Dick Cavett. I just like to give credit. When I steal a joke, I'd like you to know that I stole that joke. In any case, I bought a sandwich on Norwegian, on SAS, the Swedish airline. And the sandwich had a hilarious English as a second language explanation, which said, this is a sandwich, not a pilot. So the sandwich is not flying the plane. And then I realized why Swedish humor hasn't dominated the way it might have. A little bit laid back on the humor front, that's all. I'm not criticizing, I'm not being judgmental in any way. You as Scandinavials will agree with me because you come from the land of the ice and snow and the midnight sun where the hot springs flow. I've played that song so many times on the show. I'm very hesitant to play it again, and yet I may. Miko, are you back there? Miko, under Led Zeppelin, under artists, there's a song called The Immigrant Song. And if you find it, it would be awesome. If you can't, it's all cool. Because I've learned here in Finland, you ask for stuff, but it doesn't necessarily materialize. Finnish people speak English and probably several other languages as well. Obviously, you speak a little Swedish. If you're a certain age, you probably speak a little Russian as well. And if you're even older than that, you probably speak German, for goodness sakes. But thank you for that. Thank you for that uncomfortable laughter. It was exactly what I was going for. But in any case, Americans need to know that Finns are well-equipped and speak many languages and speak English quite fluently, but not so fluently as they think, because they'll just say yes or whatever, and then you're like, no, I'm still standing here waiting for the shit I asked you for. And then they go, that's okay. And you're like, okay. So we're just going to nod at each other for a really long time now. And they're like, yeah, we are. And like that. So we took Finnair. And they had those unbelievable, what are they called? Italia, the design house here that's so superb. The little glasses that had the shimmering bubbles that, like, your glass is a little icicle that you hold. And I felt shitty not ordering vodka on the plane. We only had water and wine. I tried to turn the water into wine, and then eventually I gave up and just ordered wine. Because apparently my powers don't work over a certain altitude. Thank you. But they were fabulous. And they gave us little Marimekko blankets. Fucking Marimekko blankets. I dare you to take an American airline like United or American or Delta, or one of those piece of shit fucking corporate tithing, fucking self-entitled billionaire, unbelievably poorly run ass businesses that we call airlines in the United States, who sell the worst goddamn food in the world, and have them give you a fucking Ralph Lauren blanket to put around you when you get on the plane. Hi, welcome. We just thought you'd enjoy this Johnny Versace blanket here. We had Donna Karan knock something up for the flight. Wrap this around your head. Put these around your hands. It's a little muff. Just sit there. We hope it's not too cold for you. On Finnair, they were absolutely delightful. And the magazine was in English, which just proves my point. Not any American I know speaks Finnish at all. I don't know Rennie Harlan, but if I did, I'm guessing he's forgotten. Rennie Harlan always did something. Rennie Harlan is a director who made a couple of immortal movies. You may remember them. One was called Cutthroat Island, and the other was The Long Kiss Goodnight. And both of them starred Gina Davis. But Rennie Harlan would wear, because he was from Finland, a giant jumper, if you're English, a sweater, if you're American. Although, as we say in America, a sweater, I'd have preferred a screamer. And underneath the sweater, Rennie would wear a shirt, but because he was from Scandinavia, he didn't tuck the shirt in, so this is what it looked like. When the shirt sticks out below what you're wearing, my wife and I call that a full Rennie. And we've been calling it that for years. We didn't make it up just for the podcast tonight. Miko, how's that Led Zeppelin song progressing? You cannot find it? Well, if you go back to the main menu that says Artists, and then under Artists, it'll be Led Zeppelin, LED. Well, you know, take your time. We got time. I don't even know when we started. Well, I kind of, sweet Maria, we need to get this show underway. So on Finnair, they gave us Marimekko blankets. And for the Americans, because Americans are, we could use a little more culture. We could be brushed with the veneer of culture. I'm assuming because you're Finnish, you know who Sibelius is, and you know who Rennie Harlan was, one of your giants of the cinema. Yeah, crank that up a little there, Miko. No, even louder. Even louder. I really shouldn't play it every time I come to Scandinavia, but I can't resist. Thank you, Miko. So we're on the plane, and they gave us lunch, and it was great. Like, it wasn't a sandwich that had a funny legend on it. Instead, it was a sandwich that was a deer goulash with curly kale and a turnip puree. Oh, fuck yeah. Deer goulash. Now, I dare you to take a flight anywhere else in the world. If you take Gulf Air to Bahrain or the United Arab Emirates or something, deer goulash is not on the menu. If you travel in America, it's things like chicken sandwich, fake chicken with fake cheese on shitty bread. Sit in your shitty seat and shut up and watch another Seth Rogen movie. Finnish Air was deer goulash, and I have to say, ooh la la. If I knew the word for good in Finnish, does anyone know the word? Hova. Fucking that deer was hova. It was off the hova. That deer had four hovas, and all of them were hova. And crispy kale. I'm not a huge kale person. I'll go kale. I'm more of a collard green. You know, my mother was from Mississippi, and she would make collards with, like, you know, lima beans or whatnot. All y'all don't know what I'm talking about. This is not for you. And, like, but collards are, you know, greens and whatnot, and you put ham hocks in them and ham and shit like that and bacon, whatever. But the crispy kale did me in. What can I tell you? And Jennifer, what was dessert? Was it a rhubarb coulis or something? It was like the, you know, for some reason, you get above a certain line. Like, if you're in Belgium, or I've never been to Belgium, but I, of course, know about this. If you're in Holland, say, for instance, or in England, it's always Cadbury. In England, they love the most abstruse chocolate. In America, our chocolate tastes like wax, because that's what it is. It's largely paraffin. In England, they eat Cadbury. And Cadbury's like, what if your aunt got the recipe for chocolate wrong and then made a lot of them? Because that's how English people are. They eat it and they're like, oh, no, it's quite good. No, I quite like it. It's not. Do you want something different? Oh, no, it's fine. But you get up here above the Scandinavia line, and it's all berries and rhubarb. All y'all are tart. What happened to the front part of your tongue? No tolerance for chocolate at all? I've had rhubarb like four times. I've been here less than 36 hours. I've had rhubarb coulis, rhubarb puree, rhubarb. I had a rhubarb stuffed inside me when I got to the hotel. I didn't know what that was about. It was very friendly. A little forward, I thought. Ah! Dear goulash. Dear goulash. Won't you come out and play? Dear goulash. See the sunny day. No, there's no sunny day. It's Finland. It'll be overcast. But Finnish people will be out anyway, wearing nothing, next to nothing. Let's see here. What have we got? Oh, no, I wanted to talk about this. Then the show's going to start for sure. This is from Jeremy. Jeremy I met in the crowd tonight, and Jeremy gave me this. It's quite a lovely gift. I've lost the front page. Oh, evidently, I haven't. Oh, there it is. Hi, Greg. Hi, Jeremy. Exclamation point. Evidently, you don't listen to the show very much. There are four kinds of punctuation that I detest beyond all measure. Exclamation points, ellipses, and two others. Hi, Greg. Welcome to Helsinki. Thank you, period. Should be a comma there, but okay. According to the Proopcast, citizens often shower you with gifts. That's so very kind of you to remember that, Jeremy. When you come to their town, here's my contribution to help ensure you that your visit to Finland is worth the trip. Well, my visit to Finland has already been anchored by a quart of vodka, so it has. Enclosed is a piece of truly obscure local baseball exotica. Baseball is a sport that we play in America. Men my age and my race really enjoy it. Everyone else could give a fuck. Everyone else likes basketball and football and our football, not your football, and hockey. And then there's then a lot of younger people like your football, soccer, what would we call it? And then older men who enjoy wearing shorts and mentoring younger boys in a very intimate way. Because they're the soccer coaches of America. And he gave me this cap here. The Vonta Giants, a now defunct team named after the San Francisco Giants that played American style baseball in the Finnish Baseball Federation. We are the Vonta Giants. We play in the Finnish Federation. We swear by Odin we'll be true. I didn't know there was a Finnish Baseball Federation. I can't believe I put a hat on my head that's going to fuck up my hair this badly. I wore this cap playing third base for the Vonda Giants over two seasons. That's what we call in America the hot corner. At which time the hot corner was always locked down tight. I haven't read the letter. This league plays a much different game than Finnish rules baseball, or pesäpallo, where the pitcher stands immediately beside the batter, first base is to the left of home plate, and nothing is as it seems. So you think you can tell heaven from hell, blue sky from rain, nothing is as it seems. I love that Finnish baseball is a psychedelically induced experience where nothing is as it seems, except for the seams on the baseball, because the seams on the baseball are exactly as they seem. Wordplay's not going to really play that much tonight. The G design is original and the sweat stains are authentic as well as persistent. This is probably the only remaining one anywhere, so guard it with your life or the life of a loved one. Thank you. I'll have my cousin Donnie guard this. Thank you, Jeremy. So very kind of you. You know that I love this so fucking much. A baseball cap from Finland from the Finnish Baseball Federation. For a couple of years, I was commissioner of the Finnish Baseball Federation. I was commissioner in absentia ad hoc. Ad infinitum. And so it was a very difficult position for me to maintain. I had no idea that the pitcher stood next to the batter and that nothing was as it seemed. So like a ball would get hit in the air and people would go like, is that in the air? Or is the air an alternate universe that we perceive? Right, because of the diminishment of all of our senses, and that really the air is an ocean upon which no ship sails. Oh, look, there's a Finnair plane with a Mary Mecco blanket in it. And then that's how you know. That's how you orient yourself once again. There's pages and pages of shit here that Jeremy's given me. Oh, I don't know what the fuck that is. What the fuck happened? Oh, other baseball teams nicknamed Giants by Jay Roberts. It's a pretty good assumption. There are, however, other baseball teams who you've used the names Giants. See, I'm from San Francisco, and my team's the Giants. Playing in a six-team league, expats and Finns who love baseball. Well, that's a small but hearty band. Now, Finns who love vodka, Finns who love eating hot dogs in the middle of the night, Finns who love rhubarb, Finns who love going near the ocean but not actually going in it, Finns who love going to the Russia for a weekend and calling it the Russia, Finns who take the ferry to Tallinn, those are bigger groups than the Finns who love baseball. Finns who love Beatrice Arthur, Finns who love Joan Rivers, the Rennie Harlan Fan Club, Lasse Virran's posse, Lasse Hallström's posse, and the Sibelius Six. Oh my God, there's a diagram of the field, Jeremy. I'm going to have to get real high and look at this because it makes no sense whatsoever. Pesäpallo was a demonstration sport at the 1952 Summer Olympics held in Helsinki, Finland. Indeed, they were. Catching a ball in flight is not an out, but for... Oh, Christ, on a cracker. Thanks, Jeremy. He also gave me a bunch of other stuff, too, which I can't describe to you because it's impossible for me to describe it and then take it back on the plane. And thank you for that. That was most considerate of you. However, I'm flying to Amsterdam, so it's a bit superfluous. It's a bit pesapayo. Let's see. We're here tonight. If you want to write me, you can write me at smartestatospecialthing.com. I do try to answer all the letters people write me. But you haven't answered me, and I wrote you 2 weeks ago. Well, I'm busy and shit. I'm on the road, goddammit. And that's not the one, but the one you write me personally is fanmail4greg@gmail.com. My stand-up comedy special, Live at Musso and Frank's, is available for $4.99. That's €4.73. I made that up, but it's very near that. But I know what you're thinking. You're Finnish, and I know what you're thinking. But can I watch it here if I download it? Because I'm on my computer, and... I know. Yeah, no, it'll play on your phone. Nokia? Yeah, on your phone. By the way, I have to say before I go any further, and I wish I'd said this at the outset of the show, before the show had begun, the internet service here is superior to any place on Earth. There is no place on Earth the internet works as quickly as it does in Finlandia. In America, we have shitty internet service. And the chairman of the FCC, which is the Federal Corporation's Catering Commission, is about to adjudicate on net neutrality in the United States, and which means that they're going to allow the giant corporations to set the fees for what you have to pay to get internet in the United States. Our internet loads slowly, shittily, and takes for goddamn ever. In Finland, by the way, Americans, in case you've ever decided to travel, when you get on your phone here and you're in a park, you're at the dock, you're in a harbor, you're in an Italian restaurant like I was today, you turn your phone on and it goes like that and is glowing green. The internet downloads so goddamn fast here. It is amazing. And no logging in with a bizarre password and give me your email and I want all your personal information and shit like that. You guys are cool. However, on the other hand, there's a camera everywhere in Finland. I haven't been on one street there hasn't been a camera looking at me smoke dope surreptitiously. You mean you brought dope here? No. Don't ever question me. So Live at Musso and Frank's is available. It's a stand-up comedy special. Aren't you doing stand-up tomorrow night? By the time it's tomorrow, it'll be 2 weeks from tomorrow. Because nothing is as it seems. Yes, I'm doing a set tomorrow night at the Arctic Anal First Annual... whatever the cock it is. I'm only here to do two shows. That's the hilarity of Finland. I've traveled thousands of miles all the way to the Arctic Circle where I can almost smell reindeer. There's people with funny conical hats. Laps. And I wish I could go to Lapland while I was here. I really do. I was told last night, my wife and I were having dinner, and she was sitting far away from me, of course, at another table. But the server came up and said, you should go to Lapland at Christmas time because there are reindeer and Santa Claus. And I was like, that sounds good. Let me ask you something. Are there psychedelic mushrooms and baseball where the pitcher stands right next to the batter? And she went, Hobbit, Frodo, Gandalf. It's $4.99, and it'll right on your phone, right on your computer. I talk a lot about taking drugs on the show. So that part's good. Then there's other shit. Then we're at Dinesh. That'll be over by this time. Let's see. The Soho Theater on the 25th of May. That'll be a Sunday night. We'll be in Wales at the Hay Festival on May 26th. Then we'll be back in the United States with the Whose Line Cats doing Whose Line Is It Anyway at the Fox Performing Center, Art Center in Appleton, Wisconsin. You know, after you've been to Helsinki, when you go to Appleton, Wisconsin, you're like, huh. There was a spotted pony in a park in Finland. In Appleton, there's a fat dude wearing a cheese head. Disappointment cut on my teeth. And then I saw her face. Dun, 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 dun. Nothing is as it seems. Batavia, Fine Arts Center in Batavia, Illinois. On the 30th, the 31st, the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts in Bloomington, Illinois. Then Ryan Stiles and I, if you know Whose Line at all, Ryan Stiles is the tall drink of water. Ryan and I will be doing a two-hander in Victoria, British Columbia. We have a lot of Canadians in tonight. There's a cat in from outside of Winnipeg. There's a kitten in from outside of... there's a cat in from Ontario. We have a lot of Canadians in. I don't know what the... Is there a land bridge that connects Finland to Canada? And the crowd goes quiet. We are not allowed to answer you because Joanna told us not to talk at the beginning. Greg, what's happening to your voice? I don't know. On the 7th, Ryan and I will be in at the Hard Rock in Vancouver. And is there any cooler gig than the Hard Rock? Why don't you just play at the Citibank corporate headquarters, Greg, and have cheeseburgers served? Then the Who's Line guys, we're going to be on the road all over the place, and I'll be on the road too, doing my podcast everywhere. But Who's Line's going to be in Regina, North America's most hilariously named city. Get it? Regina rhymes with something that Americans say. Saskatoon, Atlanta. Hotlanta. I'll be there for 3 nights. Come and see me. That'll be in Jan. Montreal, that'll be in July. San Francisco, that'll be in August. Edinburgh, we'll be doing Whose Line Is It Anyway with Clive Anderson at the Edinburgh Comedy Arctic Laughs Festival there. Then we'll be in Penticton, Kelowna, Portland, Tallinn. Yeah, in October, we're coming back to Tallinn. So you can take the fucking ferry and see this very same show. Thank you. And then we'll be in Antwerp. We're discussing Stockholm. Stockholm's not a done deal. We have Swedes in? Good for you. Stockholm's not a done deal. He's freaking out on me a little bit. So we may end up in Copenhagen instead of Stockholm. But that's how that goes, as they say. I think it was Robbie Neville who said, c'est la vie, that's just the way it goes. Nothing's as it seems. Oh, there's still some more in there. Really, dude? Let me just gather the bows. There we go. Now, because it's a rock club, that's how we play that. Let's see. Henrika Ringbom, born in 1962, is a Finland-Swedish poet who also writes prose and essays. She's published 4 collections of poems, the latest of which, Den Vita Vintunden, The White Greyhound, and a novel in her work, unite keenness to images and exact musical language. I think it's supposed to be musical. Well, I can't. Yeah, but it's, what does it actually say? Here, Nico, will you turn this one on? There we go. What does that word say to you there?
Which one? Musial?
Yeah.
Musial.
That's not musical, right? That's musial?
Yeah.
That's from a website here in Finland. They spelled the word musical. How do you say it?
Musical? Musial?
Musial. They spelled it wrong. I just wanted to feel good about something. As an illiterate American who doesn't speak Finnish, I wanted to feel good that they spelled it musial. Who, by the way, was a superb baseball player. Well, musial died last year and he played for the Cardinals.
And he was a terrific player. Don't ever
fucking do that to me again. In her work, unite keenness to images and exact musial language. It's like music, but there's more musia in it. Welcome back. You're from America.
Yes.
We're from America.
Florida.
Florida.
Yeah.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
All right. The fuck are you doing here in Finland? Did you marry a Finnish guy?
No, I came here to see you. I live in Phoenix.
You came here to see me?
Yeah.
That is commitment. Thank you for that. You flew from Munich? Oh, with your buddy. What's your buddy's name?
Maeve.
Hi, Maeve. You're the Queen of Ireland, then?
Yes.
Are you from Ireland?
Yes.
No one's named Maeve that's not from Ireland. It's like being named Fionnuala. If you're named Fionnuala, where are you from? Georgia? No, Ireland. Well done coming here. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. That's very sweet of you. Florida. Wow, where in Florida?
I grew up in Pensacola.
Pensacola, yeah. But you lived in Kissimmee or whatever. Right, Orlando, sure. Outside of Hollywood or whatever.
Well, I live by the UCF area.
Right. A lot of Finnish people here tonight. They're not as down with Florida's geography as you and I are. You guys would like Florida. You know what they have in Florida that you guys don't have? An enormous orange orb. It hangs in the sky. It's about 91 million miles away in the summertime, 93 in the winter. In the spring, it varies. Let me just put it this way. Ponies are cold, but not in Florida. No ponies are cold in Florida. In Florida, ponies are well-armed and will fuck you up. Florida's really weird. It's fun, but really weird. In America, we call Florida God's waiting room because so many old people live there that it's like the last few laps before the fucking golden moment. But there also is every amusement park that ever was in the history of mankind. And I know people from Europe, and I'm including Finland in Europe, even though you're really part of the fucking Soviet Federation. See? I knew if I said that, you would come alive, and that's why I said it. So come alive! Wow! If you go to Florida, you'll find that people, when you order food in Florida, an entire banquet is delivered to you. And you're like, oh my God, is this just for me? And the answer is yes. When you order ribs in Florida, you don't, like, here I ordered salmon today, and my wife ordered the shrimp pasta. And the shrimp pasta came, and it was very nice. And I ordered the salmon, it was very nice. But the salmon was about a little finished portion. If you're in America, like, a school of fish would be delivered to your table. And there would not be several shrimp that you had to look for in the pasta. The shrimp would be piled so high, you couldn't see the people you were sitting across from. Because there would be onion rings stacked up like that. I'm not wrong, and she knows this. There'd be fried pickles. There'd be onion... Fried pickles. Yeah, you fucking heard me. We take pickles, we put them in batter, and then we deep fry them. You know why? We don't give a shit how long we live. Fucking A. Pulled pork and whatnot. And like that. Anyway, I wanted to read you a poem. As you know, the show's all about poetry. Because my wife and I were out last night, and my girlfriend and my boyfriend, too. It was so awesome. And we were walking down near... What's this big body of water right here in Helsinki? The sea. Thank you. That'll teach me to ask. I deserve that. I know I deserved it. I deserve that. And the moon was right down on the horizon. And I don't know if anyone was out last night, but the moon was a gigantic orange disc that was dazzling in its luminosity and was just fucking hanging there like a giant... what was the song by Billy Rose? It's only a paper moon hanging over a cardboard sea, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. It's a Helsinki world where hot dogs are garlic as they can be. But you wouldn't be disappointed with the shrimp portion if you believed in me. Without your love, it's a shivering spotted pony. Without your love, it's a brown pony that gives you a conspiratorial glance. This is Enrica Ringbaum's poem. Ringbaum? R-I-N-G-B-O-M. Ringboom. I knew I pronounced it wrong. Ring boom. That's fantastic. My name, by the way, is pronounced pro. Oops. Gah ring pro. Oops. I like to read a poem. Now I make a ring boom. The sky, cloudy, gray. It's warm, almost stifling. We walk along the gravel road, the country road, the pine. And the ice falls. And the ice fell. Nothing is as it seems. Along the gravel road, the country road, the pines, there shoots the warm dampness in the greenhouse. We drink coffee, black coffee, by Scavola. Two garlic plants, a tomato plant, for our English friends, a tomato plant, celery. Back along the road, the sky's globe, clouds in layers. I long to be nowhere else but here. That was Enrica Ringbohm's poem, and hooray for her. Let's move on to the boring preachy part, and then... Jennifer, you're not going to believe this. I think it's on. Part of it's on. We have a backup. Nico's making a backup. Don't be so fucking Nordic about it. Someone in the front row went, hopefully. We're going to have to use Miko's backup. How long have we done, Miko? Like an hour. All right. Kitten's McTavish. I thought it was going. Well, now it's going. But I don't have time to listen to it. You've got a backup, though, right? Oh, thank fuck. You should never let me work anything technical. If it was, like pie or a bottle, I could work it. And you'd be like, fuck, you poured that drink. That was really easy. Or like, you cut that slice of pie. That was really delicious, Greg. Thank you. As far as technically recording my own podcast, wow. Miko's got it. He's on it. So far, we're 1 minute into the show. I got a lot of gifts tonight. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Finnish Baseball Federation. Wow. Really? Fuck you. This is from the New York Times. The boring preachy part begins now. Then we're going to do some questions, and then we'll fuck off into this good night. I didn't get everything done in Paris, but I have letters that people wrote me as I say. Let's see here. But first we'll do this. First we'll do the letter, then we'll move on. Hey, Greg. Dear Greg. Thank you. Hi. Dear you. This is from Robin with a Y. R-O-B-Y-N. Dear Greg. Hi, Robin. Hi, Greg. I wanted to let you know what a great help you've been to me this past year. I'm an English teacher in a large New York City public high school. Due to programming issues, budget cuts, and administrative ineptitude, my program was short an English class, and my building was short a health teacher. So guess what? Now I'm a health teacher too. It mortifies me to address concerns of health and sexuality in a classroom full of 17-year-olds. Unless, of course, I'm explaining Tupping or the Beast with Two Backs. Tupping, for those of you who haven't read the Bible, is the act of male-on-female concupiscence. The Beast with Two Backs is awesome. Especially if you're outside in Finland late at night with an orange moon over you. That shit's in my wheelhouse, she says. So instead of actually teaching health, a few days a week, I give them a health-related reading with questions that I never go over or ask them about. This is American education. In Finland, everyone has to produce their genitalia in kindergarten. And it's pored over with a microscope for half an hour. And then later, each detail of it is logged into a book. And then they're taught a variety of languages. By the way, abortion is free and on demand here in Finland. Although my understanding is you have to have two doctors examine you first. Is that right? Yes, no, and everyone else just shakes their head. Whatever. I'm sorry I went to Finland for that answer. Next time, I'll ask it in Amsterdam in a couple days. They're sure to know it there. Then we watch a movie. It's been my goal to find movies that they'll love, but would never consider watching under any other circumstances. And that's exactly where your film club comes in. It's tacitly understood that I'm teaching out of license. I can't be observed by administration, so I'm free to pretty much do whatever I want. And the Greg Proops Film Club has been just the thing I needed to complete the curriculum vitae. The frequent 90-minute choices fit in nicely with two class periods, and most choices can be purchased for a few dollars. The Greg Proops Film Club is the other podcast I do. Our last episode was Laura, a 1940s classic by Otto Preminger, and I urge you to download that. It's free as well. Moving right along. So far, they love Rushmore, Point Break, and Gilda. Rushmore, you have to see, and Point Break as well. If no one's seen Point Break here, it might be the greatest movie of all time. Let me explain the plot a little bit. Keanu Reeves plays an FBI agent who is a former football star. Are you following so far? Patrick Swayze is a surfer who leads a gang of bank robbers who wear masks of different American presidents. This doesn't appeal to you? You may think it's a daring choice, as the language is salty. Oh, that was Sexy Beast. I showed Sexy Beast as well, which I believe has 128 fucks and 38 cunts in it. Now, cunt is a word you read everywhere here in Finland, because evidently it doesn't mean the same thing here. I drove by a sign yesterday that said, cunt oil, €5. And I was like, that's pretty cheap. Here we go. I was celebrating my daughter's 22nd birthday, but had the pleasure of attending the November show. I found the entire show delightful. Thank you. Of course you did. Especially the part where the bouncer at the door demanded I show ID. When you reach my age, getting asked for your ID is one of the exciting moments of your life. I've been assumed to be of age since I was 15, As a sidebar, I'd like to address the grammar police who frequently question your usage. Under the New York State grading rubric, your grammatical errors, as well as my own, would be classified as the type that do not hinder comprehension. Therefore, there are no deductions. Screw you, pedants. Love the show, and I hope to see you again live. Thank you, Robin. Hey, NSA, I ask everyone who writes me on Google Mail to address the National Security Administration in America, because Google, very compliantly, provides every single email to the National Security Administration, who is spying on every country in the world, including all y'all's country here. Suwami. Hey, NSA. In pre-Reagan America, the largest U.S. employee was General Motors, with an adjusted hourly pay rate that averaged $50. Today, the largest employer is Walmart, with a pay rate of around $10. Why don't you go after some real domestic terrorists? Fucking A. Thank you for that, Robin. A couple of things, and then I'll say we'll move on. But one quick one here that I thought was very good. My wife gave me this one. Helena Costa takes over League Two's, or Deux, if you will, Clermont Foot as the first female manager. Portuguese coach has scouted for Celtic in the past. Helena Costa, French Tier's second outfit, Clermont Foot, have announced that Portuguese manager Helena Costa will take over next season. Costa, 36, will become the first female coach of a French professional club. Fucking A. If you know anything about this show, you know that we're promoting women's rights at all times on this show. There's no such thing as feminism. There's only that there's more women than men, and that it's about time that we took our tiny weenies and put them in our pants and let women take their rightful place at the head of the goddamn line. The fact that there are no professional women football coach is scandalous. So well done, Clermont Foot. Announcing the appointment, a statement on Clermont's website confirmed that Costa, who was recently coach of the Iran women's team, will be introduced to the media after the season's final fixtures have been completed. And this is what she says. I was talking with my physiotherapist about the time when the first woman entered the army, a very macho environment. At first, there was a lot of shock, but now women in the army have become normal. This may be the same in football, Lepini told La Equipe. I cannot wait to return next season to be a part of it. I'm really curious. It will be a unique experience to be the first professional football team to be managed by a woman. Pardon me. It is good. It creates a buzz. That was defender Anthony Lepini, who is currently recovering from a knee injury, and he admitted he's curious to see what Helene Costa is going to do. In the late 1990s and early 2000s, France had Nelly Vionnaud as the first woman to be assistant referee in an elite match. Vionnaud also served as assistant referee in the Champions League games. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that football is so challenging intellectually that a woman can't officiate one of the games? Are you in the depths of your fucking male fucking double Y chromosome ignorance so unbelievably recherché and so inconceivably retroactive that you think a woman can't coach men footballers and that a woman can't fucking officiate in a league game. The thing about the World Cup, and I love the World Cup, that I take exception to, is one, it's a giant corporate event that doesn't include any poor people or anyone with no money. None of us here in this room can afford to go to the World Cup and see matches. Am I wrong or am I right? I'm fucking right. I know you'd like to go. Not that Finland qualified. You get my point. Whenever the Olympics take place, whenever the World Cup takes place, these giant corporations, and I mean Citibank, HSBC, Coca-Cola, Nokia, whoever you can fucking name, get together, knock over poor neighborhoods. In Brazil, it's all the favelas. They're knocking them all over. They take away the poor people's property, and they put these giant events on, and they charge unbelievably usurious prices that we cannot afford. And that's my objection with this. And the idea that women can't be included in football is ridiculous. I'll point it out again for the billionth time on this show. In America, we have never won a men's World Cup. We have, however, won a women's World Cup. And yet, in American sports, it's like, well, we've never won a World Cup. Except for the fact that there are more women than men, and we have won a fucking World Cup. We've won a women's World Cup. The men's World Cup, I get it. It's a big event. A lot of guys have big dicks and good haircuts, and they kick each other and shit. Women enjoy it. I enjoy it. I understand the whole concept. I'm also just saying, think about it and shit. Not here in Finland where you're going to go quiet and feel all awkward. But other places. No, you'll dig it. Let's see here. We'll move along from that and go to this one. This was from the New York Times. And as you know, I don't trust the New York Times farther than I can fucking throw them. However, this was a very good editorial written a couple of days ago. I haven't talked about Nigeria at all because the situation there is absolutely unsolvable, one, and two, unbelievably tragic beyond all measure. However, this editorialist for the New York Times, Nicholas Kristof, made a very good point here, and I wanted to touch upon it, if you will. When terrorists in Nigeria organized a secret attack last month, they didn't target an army barracks, a police department, or a drone base. No. Boko Haram militants attacked what's even scarier to a fanatic, a girls' school. That's what extremists do. They target educated girls because, and I added the because, educated girls are their worst nightmare. This is what's going on in the world. Women all over the world, in the second and third world in particular, but also in the first world, are subjugated, made into slaves, treated awfully, abused, and every other goddamn thing. You can uncross your arms, gentlemen. I saw a guy in the front row go like this. That's not listening. Listening's like this. Yes, let your estrogen wash over me, Greg. You drank vodka out of a bottle with a bow on it tonight. Why am I having to tell you this? Because no one will tell you this. Because the mainstream media, and maybe not here in Finland, where you have 200 some odd media outlets, newspapers, radio stations, and a very free press. But I come from the United States, and I also represent for England, Scotland, Ireland, a lot of the first world countries where they don't have a free press. But they say we have a free press. Yeah. If your idea of a free press is one that's vetted by the fucking government and signed off on by corporations, then we have a free press. And the one thing they'll never tell you is that women are kept in slavery and paid shitty wages. Why will they not tell you that, Greg? Because it's not a story they put on the front page. Because they don't think it sells anything. On TV, you'll never see the front story ever be, women are paid less than men. That's never going to be the lead story in the news. And yet it's true in every country in the world. You're never going to be told that women are absconded from their schools, from their homes, from wherever, and forced into slavery and shit. Why aren't you going to be told that? Because it's not sexy to the male editors who run the media, who do the bidding of their corporate and government fucking masters that we all have to deal with at all times. That's why you'll never hear it. That's why I'm reading this, and that's why I say this. It doesn't make me better than anyone else. It doesn't make me more salient. It's simply where I'm coming from. Now, mind you, I have an agenda like any giant corporate media outlet, but my agenda includes the entire human race, not just men in the human race. Why are fanatics so terrified of girls' education? Because there's no force more powerful to transform a society. The greatest threat to extremism isn't drones firing missiles. Are you listening, President Obama? But the drone missile program, this program was necessary. 2 days ago, a small child in the Yemen received a drone gift. The greatest threat to extremism isn't drones firing missiles, but girls reading books. There is no thing you can do while you're alive than help educate women all over the world that is more important to the world. The biggest problem with the world is not that, the environment, is not war, is not this and that. Everything stems from that women are unequal to men. There cannot be another reason, because it has been this way since the matriarchy was overthrown in the long ago, when Finland was a series of islands connected by little boats that were run by women. Oh, fuck yeah. And don't ever believe that it was different than that. At one point in Finland, a giant clitoris dominated the landscape. And all the men of Finland stood quaking with their spotted ponies in the corner, waiting for that woman to give them fucking orders, like make some fucking bronze and be useful for once in your goddamn life. You can't get it up when it's this cold. Why don't you do something else? President Obama gives the green light to blow up terrorists with drones, but he neglects his 2008 campaign promise to establish a $2 billion global fund for education. This is the New York Times saying this. That's how critical the situation has become because of what happened in Nigeria. I wish Republicans, instead of investigating him for chimerical scandals in Benghazi and Libya, or Benghazi-Libya, would shine a light on his failure to follow through on that great idea. I'm going to cut to the chase, then we're going to do some questions, then we're going to go. This is what Nicholas Kristof says that I think is most important. People often feel helpless, unable to make a difference. And I'm here to empower you, and Nicholas Kristof is here to empower you. All of us can make a difference all the time. Don't think that you can't. The world is not an overwhelming tide that you cannot face. The world is a river that you are a part of, and you can divert your tiny part of the river by exerting whatever control you have over your life. And when I say that, I mean you can boycott the people you don't wish to do business with. You can hip people to the jive of the full-on information of the truth that's going down out there. So here we are. It was a grassroots movement started in Nigeria that grabbed attention and held leaders accountable to address it. Nigeria's leaders perhaps now realize they must protect not only oil wells, but an even greater treasure, the nation's students. Likewise, any of us can stick it to Boko Haram by helping to educate a girl. A $40 gift at camfed.org, camfed.org, buys a uniform so a girl can go to school. We can also call on members of Congress, that's in my country, you can call on whomever you wish here, to pass the International Violence Against Women Act, which would elevate the issue of sexual violence on the global agenda. The situation in the United States is incomparably better, but we have our own problems. It's estimated 100,000 girls under 18 in the United States are trafficked into commercial sex each year. That is shocking. Let's fight to hashtag bring back our girls in Nigeria, but also here in the US and around the world. Now we'll do some questions and then we'll move on. Joanna, would you pick up the microphone here? We'll go into the crowd, we'll do this for a minute, and then we'll go off into this good night. And I thank you for your kind attention. My voice will hold out till the end. Go on, you don't have to raise your hand. Whoever wants to speak. Anybody, nobody? You shy people. There's someone, there's Joanna. God bless you, Miko, for making that backup.
Hi, Greg.
What's your name, Brohim?
Antti.
Ostic?
Antti, A-N-T-T-I.
Antic, I love it.
Great.
Well, good dabu day, Antic. My name's Greg. Me amo Gregorio, a sus ordenes. Mi chiste es muy bueno.
Yeah, we speak a lot of languages, but I don't think that's one of them.
Yeah, okay. I knew I'd pick the one you didn't speak. Je m'appelle Gregoire.
I bought your comedy special, the Musso and Frank thing.
Thank you, Artic.
And I just wanted to confirm to everyone that not only is it really good, you can in fact watch it in Finland. So, no.
Thank you, Antic. There we have definitive proof from a first-hand witness.
Because sometimes there's some kind of DRM bullshit that it doesn't open all over the world.
So right.
So I took the chance and it works, so go
Thank ahead. You for saying that.
But my question is actually related to that, because after I bought it, I got an email that asked me to set my password for Greg Proops. So I was wondering, if we go a little metaphysical here, what would be the password for Greg Proops?
My password?
Yeah, like...
Hashtag S-M-O-K-E-D-O-P-E. Can everyone spell? My password is always peace and love, baby. And also, grow a fucking clit and pull it together. That's my other password at all times. Thank you for asking that. And I really appreciate you buying the special. People around the world tweet me and email me, and they're like, I live in whatever country. Will it actually play in my country? And yes, it will, because it comes over the internet. Yeah. And in Finland, by the way, it'll play faster than any other country. The show's over before you start it. Before you've taken your first bite of fucking reindeer goulash. What happened to kittens? Thank you. Thank you, kittens. Thank you, sir. That's my password.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Antik. Very kind of you. Ketos. Ketos, Antik. Look at Joanna run. She's from Canada as well.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, what's your name?
My name's Cam.
No, I mean your real name, dude.
My real name's Cam. Full name's Cameron.
Thanks, brother.
I've been listening to your podcast for about 3 years, and I was just
wondering... You must be tired. Sorry, I was doing Emerson, Lake, and Palmer there. I've been listening to your podcast for 3 years, Cameron.
I just wanted to ask you one question, and that's if you could go back to the night that you first picked up a mic and faced an audience.
Oh, God! That was a long time ago, Broham.
Well, I was just wondering if you could give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be?
Confidence will out. I think that the two most important things in being a comedian is one, and I think I've proven this again and again tonight, you must never be intimidated if the crowd's not laughing. You're right and they're wrong. And two, the other thing that's important to remember is stage time. The first time you pick up the mic is only the first time. You're going to have a long-ass fucking lifetime in front of the microphone. And so time in front of the mic is what makes you comfortable. And that's the difference between a comic who's just starting and a comic who's done it for 7 years or whatever. And I think 7 years is always the line of demarcation. Someone made that up a long time ago. You find comics who are great after a year and a half, 2 years. But really, about 7 years in, something clicks, and all of a sudden you're speaking in the voice you want to speak in. And it's a process. We comedians are the only group next to coopers and blacksmiths that have to perform an apprenticeship. We aren't good when we start. It takes us years to be good. So comics actually perform in obscurity for no money for fucking 5 to 7 years. And then they start to make some money, and then eventually we get paid to do what we want to do. I don't know what you do at your douchebag fucking tech bullshit IT fucking shit job that you're spitting back in my face right now with your goddamn attitude and shit. But however long it took you, didn't take you as long as it did us. And you're not as accomplished as us. And we're better than you in a lot of ways. We have more ego than you. We're more centered than you. We know more than you. We listen more than you do. The one thing about being a comedian is you have to listen. But you've done nothing but talk all night, Greg. Yeah, but if I hadn't listened, I wouldn't know what to talk about. And shit. That's your only question?
I did have one other thing very, very quickly.
Oh, this is your follow-up, Cameron.
No, actually, this is a small favor. I'm lucky enough to have just been published, and I was wondering if it'd be okay if I mentioned the name of my novel.
Sure. Where did you get published?
Published in the United States with Delray.
What are you doing in Finland, Broheim?
I'm actually one of three writers working on the largest entertainment project in Finnish history. It's a computer game called Quantum Break coming out for the Xbox One.
That's awesome.
But the name of the novel...
Well, you've already got one plug in, Cameron.
But yeah, the name of the novel is it's called The Music of Razors, and I'm published as Cameron Rogers.
What kind of novel is it, Cameron?
Basically, it's a contemporary fantasy horror. It's about a 200-year-old bullet removal specialist who makes a deal with a forgotten angel to be the greatest surgeon in history. And
could you encapsulate that more? I'm having trouble understanding what the plot is.
Well,
now that's fantastic. Well done, you, Cameron. It's unbelievably difficult to get published in any regard. And as I've said on the show, and I'll say it again, and I'm sorry to repeat myself, but if you're writing a book, carpe fucking diem. If you're a poet, if you're writing a song, if you're whatever it is you're doing in your life, that's not your regular job, the job that you want to do, the one that sings to your creative heart, the one that makes your soul fucking soar above the clouds like a giant puffin. That's the one I urge you to fucking do, ladies and gentlemen. Carpe fucking diem. Do not wait. Cameron is an example right here. He's over here in Finland. You're from America?
Australia.
Australia, which is like America, but even shallower. Even shallower. They're our sporty friends. They have better coffee. Their flat white just kicks ass on American coffee. Where from in Oz?
I'm from Melbourne.
Melbourne. I love Melbourne. Which neighborhood?
All over the place. St. Kilda.
Oh, yeah, St. Kilda. St. Kilda's fantastic. In any case, do what you have to do is what I'm saying. And don't fucking wait. Don't wait for your mother or father to give you approval. Don't wait for your significant other to give you approval. Don't wait for yourself to give you approval. Whatever it is you need to do, you know you need to do it. It's burning inside you. Do it, goddammit. Because the world will be a better place when you do. But what about you, Greg? You're in the middle of writing a thing. Fuck you. Don't ever climb on my shit. Don't ever fucking judge me or second guess me in any goddamn way. No, I'm here to encourage you, and I'm here to use Cameron as an example. He's being published. He's from Australia. He's here in Finland. You speak Finnish?
A.
Which is you funny. Fucking asshole. I'm joking, Cameron. I don't speak it at all either. Muy, muy. Kiitos. Thank you, Cameron. One more question, and then we'll fuck off. Let's have a girl. Can we have a woman speak, or no women want to talk to me? Why do no women want to speak to me? And I don't mean that in a general sense.
I think I'm a woman.
You think you're a woman? Well, I think I'm a man. Let's get this shit going.
Hi, Greg.
What's your name, Pumpkin Butter?
Joelle.
Noel?
Joelle, with a J.
I love it. It's like Christmas, but with Jolly. Well, maybe you haven't heard this one. Your question's over, Joelle. Let's move on to the next one. I'm joking, of course. Thank you for coming from Krypton. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yes, Joelle, what's your question?
So you've answered some, like, actually before, but I had a different one. So I spend a lot of time arguing with people on the internet who have bad opinions and about things like feminism and how horrible our world is kind of right now. And since I'm originally from the States, you kind of know.
Where from in the States?
Originally from Brooklyn.
With that accent? Really?
Do you really need me to talk like this though?
Where?
Whole
Bay Parkway?
Bay Ridge.
Bay Ridge, okay.
Yeah. Actual Brooklyn, you know. Okay, so.
Wow, like Bay Parkway is some sort of fucking principality off the side of Brooklyn that's adjudicated by fucking vice counts and shit who. Okay, go on.
So I am
the Duke of Bay Parkway. Bay Ridge is not an area I have heard of. Let me ride my spotted pony through Prospect Park. Yeah, go on.
So my question is, do you have any advice for talking to people who disagree with you on these things without sounding like an asshole? Because I get really angry, and it doesn't help my point at all.
Well, it's hard not to sound like an asshole. I think I've proved that tonight. Harder than any other podcaster in the history of podcasting. Well, I think allowing people to express their opinion and then gently pointing them in the direction. You have to understand too, Jarrell, that Joelle, I know what your name is. I mispronounce everything because I'm a dick. I'm a dick. You have to understand a lot of people are intractable and will not be moved from their position. And especially if you're talking to And how do I put this delicately? Christians? Christians have a little thing called dogma. And they live inside their little dog. And the dog wags his tail and they go, no, like that. And they can't believe anything else other than the shit they've been trained to learn. And a lot of men in the room here tonight have also been trained in a kind of dogma where, like, I'm superior to women because I am a swaggering seed bearer and my ejaculation is most holy. And it smells really good and everyone should enjoy it. No, it's disgusting and no one wants it, okay? That's your fucking problem, Broham. And so you have to understand that a lot of people aren't ready for your opinion. One, you're probably very intelligent and articulate, and you make your case up to a certain point. You make your case with brevity and with brio. And then your anger takes over when you sense that they're not understanding what you're fucking saying. And then at that point, like, you're like, are you a fucking moron? How do you not get this, that I'm telling you that women are unequal to men? And they're like, but women are equal to men. And you're like, no, they're not. Women are sold into slavery. If men were sold into slavery, if men were, God damn it, kittens. Thank you. For instance, in the United States, a lot of anti-abortion laws are passed. And anti-abortion laws are simply laws against women. They have nothing to do with the sanctity of life. They have nothing to do with how people like babies. They have nothing to do with any kind of holiness or Christianity whatso-fucking-ever. As my wife said to me today, it's all about control. And when they mandate a 72-hour waiting period, when two doctors have to talk to you before you have an abortion, that's men exerting their control over women. Men are allowed to take boner pills at any time. Men are allowed to buy a gun at any fucking time in the United States. There's no waiting period. When men have to wait as long to buy a gun in the United States as women have to wait as long to get an abortion, then I'll believe there's some kind of fucking equality. Other than that, fuck you. So I would walk gently, present every rational argument, but then understand at the end of the day, people still may not understand or be willing to bend to your argument. Believe it or not, Joelle, I get lots of emails on the show and physical letters where people write me and go, I'd never considered what you'd said before because I'm a man and I walk around the world with a penis guiding me everywhere I go. And then they go, I listen to your show and I realize my daughters are human. I'm not fucking kidding. Or my wife is human or whatever. And all I ever talk about on the show is empathy. And empathy is the hardest thing to get people to understand because people dig in, they build a bulwark with fucking giant spiny fucking projectiles all around to protect themselves against other people's opinion. And empathy means the ability to feel like someone else feels. But what if that person's a transgendered person who takes penises in their ass? Well, sometimes you have to feel like that too. What if that person's Jewish or black or poor or a million other things that I don't feel I am? How am I to relate to them? By reaching out with your feelings and trying to understand that your reality is a reality, not the reality. And further, realize that what I'm talking about in the corporate world with the governments and the corporations and all that shit is only a reality. There's more than half of the billions of people who live on Earth that don't experience that in any way. Their reality is there's no water in their village, or there's spirochetes the size of fucking giant tadpoles wiggling through their brain, or there's some other horrible, ungodly shit that they have to deal with. That isn't like the shit we have to deal with where you're like, taxi, fuck! So that's all I'm saying. Empathy is real important, and it's important to understand that everyone has their own bag. Hey, I want to play the last song, Miko, but I want to play that other song first. Can we play the William Vaughn, Be Thankful for What You Got song, and then go into the Apocalypto one, Miko? You were so awesome before about Led Zeppelin. Thank you, Joelle, for your question. That's right, I start to strike the stage while I'm still here. Joanna, one more person, and then we'll go.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, darling. What's your name?
Karina.
Hi, Karina.
I have a question, man.
I expect you do.
Yeah.
You minx.
Since Finland is a country that is dominated by women.
I know. I love that about Finland. You had equal rights before anyone else.
Yeah. So if you were a woman.
Except the domestic violence issue is a little bit of a thing, right?
Perhaps. I'm not Finnish, so I can't judge.
Oh, you're Dutch. Well.
No, I'm not Dutch.
What did you say?
I'm not Finnish.
Oh, you can't judge. You're from Germany. We met before.
Yes, that is correct. Anyway, my question is that.
That was a German answer. Yes, that is correct. But now that you have been right, may I ask my goddamn question? Yes, go on, Karina.
I'm also Finnish, as I might say, so I have just gotten the double citizenship yesterday. So
well done, you.
Yay to me.
That's the spirit.
But if you were a woman, what kind of woman would you like to be?
Well, I'd like to be like my wife, a super fox. Super smart, super capable, intelligent. There's really nothing my wife hasn't taught me, and that's the kind of woman I'd like to be. Not only is she gorgeous, she's amazingly literate. Really? You're laughing and shit? Have you ever been inside a girl before, bro? I'm guessing not by that fucking laugh. Or, let me guess even more specifically, English. Fucking was I right or was I fucking right? Only an English guy would go like, I wouldn't like to be a woman. What I'd like to be is a fucking goalkeeper. That way when the balls hit me in the face. All right, let's hit it. That's the end of the show. Good night, everybody. You've been the smartest crowd in the world. I've been the smartest man in the world. Thank you very much. May every page that you turn be a satchel page. May every bell that rings for you be a cool papa bell. And if you have to buy bonds, make sure they're Barry bonds. Good night, everyone. Crank that shit up, Miko.
Though you may not drive, against the white wall, TV enters in the back. You